The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Black Mental Matters, episode number 32. I'm Vince the Voice, along with Makiba Reed Johnson. We are on that grind, eradicating that stigma as it relates to mental health in the Black community. Again, we hope and pray during this time that everything is okay for you and yours. We ask and say, hey, stay home right now. This ain't the time to be brave out there. It's going to be all right. Just hang in there. Sometimes, you know, things like this makes us even better on the other side. In fact, I know that this will, and that's what this program is about today. I'm going to title this one, Making Lemons Out of Lemonade, or Turning Your Loss into Love. And we're going to talk to a fine woman, Miss Kathy Williams, who took the tragedy of losing her son to now work to help local communities understand depression and come to grips with the tragedy of suicide. So we hope this is a blessing for you. We thank so much for Kathy, and let's get started right now. It's Black Mental Matters. That's right. Starts right now. Once again, it is the show that everybody, the podcast everybody talking about is Black Mental Matters with Vince the Voice and Makiba Reed Johnson. Makiba!
Yay!
Did you hear the crowd went crazy again? Look, it's amazing. Every time we come together, Makiba, the crowd goes crazy.
I'm telling you, because we just got so much great information to put out there. Folks will love it. We'll to it.
Yeah, so much, so much. So it's great to be with you again. And yeah, we're still rolling through this, you know, and trying to stay as positive as possible during the unprecedented times. You know what I'm saying? This has just been crazy.
Yeah, it is. And there's no template to follow. So This is just brand new to everybody. So everybody's just trying to figure this out as we go along. So having this type of platform to bring people together to talk things out and to listen, this is really helpful.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, we've got, we've really, I feel so privileged when, you know, we've had some great interviews with therapists and folks from all over the country and giving us, you know, great advice and things, ways to work with this. And that's, again, why we started this whole thing, Black Mental Matters, where we talk about clinical, but then just how you just make it through life, you know, being a Black person here in America.
That's right. That's right. There's all the hardships and the challenges that just come with that.
You, you're my therapist. Just let everybody know. And when you give some of those examples and you know, from the knowledge that you've gathered from your studies, it's just amazing. And when put into practice, that's the hard thing, because a lot of times you can hear something and it sounds so good, but to put it in practice is a whole other story.
Right, right. And to put it in practice in a manner in which you can then, after you've learned from it, to try to explain it to someone else and to try to help the next person. You're right, absolutely right. Knowing it and doing it are two different things.
Two totally different things. And that's why this program today is so special. And it really, really touches my heart. We're going to be talking. In fact, she's here with us now. Why don't we just go ahead and bring her in? It's Miss H. Kathy S. Williams. She's a retired educator, worked 31 years in school, wife, mother, and an advocate. She is the founder of a program, Awareness Presentation on Identifying Depression, Suicide Prevention. It's entitled Breaking the Silence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Miss H. Kathy S. Williams. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing great this afternoon, Vince and Makiba, and thank you all so much for having me on your podcast today.
Well, it is truly our honor. Yeah, it is our honor. And you do a lot, Kathy. Let me see. You work with the Acoma Project, you're a member of the advisory board, been featured on podcasts, and then you're joining us here today doing numerous trainings in mental health awareness. But you are not a mental health therapist, but you're on the front lines, huh?
I can say so. I had an experience that, and I say this, I said it was lemons to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
but I turned it to lemonade. So I said, this is how we make, turn lemons into lemonade. Yeah.
So let's start where we began, Kathy, as how you got involved with this whole mental health and breaking the silence, identifying depression, suicide prevention. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, if I can start, Vince and Makiba, by just reciting this poem, if that would be okay with you.
Sure.
Of course.
And the poem is, part of me is Carolina blue, full of flavor and excitement, like a wild roller coaster on the loose. But at times, I'm mean, dark, lonely, black, like a lost dog in the desert. Yet they're both true, and they're both me. That poem was written by this fine young man, 15 years old. Ninth grader, very well liked, played sports, basketball, football, could play that saxophone almost as well as Kenny G. Loved everybody, fun loving, handsome, tall, stood about 6'3" or something like that. And we all looked at him and said, he's got a good life. He was looking at going to college and what he was going to do, and just had his life together. Functional family, everything. Just had everything going. Sang in the church choir, led songs. And on July 13th, 1996, he chose to take his life. And that was my son. His name was Torian Leandris Gray. So this, and Makiba, this is why I do what I do. And at that time, I prayed, because we didn't know anything, what in the world happened? Why did this happen? Why didn't we see? Why didn't we know? Who did he tell? And I remember just praying and praying and praying to God to give me an answer. And at that time, I was teaching fifth grade, and our school system had just started. They were having their very first suicide intervention training, which was offered to the counselors and the mental health people in the school and social worker. And, of course, I wanted to go. And there was a counselor at my school that said, I don't want to go. I said, well, maybe I can go in your place. And I asked, and that was when that door opened to find out really what happened to my child. It was up for God. I'm going to open this door so I can let you know what was going on. And when I went to the training, as the presenter was talking about the signs and symptoms, and they were on a sheet of paper, and he was going through them, I started checking them off. I said, oh, my goodness, I saw that. Oh, I saw that. And then I checked off, and he was saying, out of all of these symptoms, if a person is experiencing five or more, sort of like in a cluster all going on at one time, that person is more than likely maybe depressed and may need to seek help. I checked more than five that were going on with Torian at that time. But for me, I didn't know those signs and symptoms. And I was thinking typical teenage behavior. So after that, and I think even before I went to the training, I was still trying to see what I could do to help the students at his school and those that he was around. So there was a program that was called, I don't know if you all have heard of it, the Yellow Ribbon Program that was started in Colorado about a couple of years.
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember.
Well, I started that program here in Durham at the school, and did, still didn't know what I know now. I just said, I don't want this to happen to anybody else. So the school system allowed me to go into his school and just give those cards to all the students. And I talked to the students who were in the van because those were his best friends. And started from there, and I think I went through the suicide intervention training that following January in 97. And after that, I started going to training and then presenting just my story and just what I had learned from training to help others. Just being able to identify the signs and symptoms and not just always thinking it's typical teenage behavior. And, having students to speak out and finding someone to talk with. So that's how I got started. And that was 96.
Wow. Can you talk about those? What were those signs? Those that parents, all of us, need to be aware of, that you became aware of.
Okay, and I'll start off with some that I saw in Torian thinking typical teenage behavior. One of them was irritability. For example, in the morning, and I remember taking him to school, and he was kind of irritable. Even if I was in the, I wasn't. His school was on the right-hand side, but if I went in the right lane, it almost looked like he would get irritable. Mama, move over. You need to be another. And I was like, well, why are you so irritable? You didn't sleep well last night? Were you on the phone talking to your girlfriend for a long time or something, didn't get enough sleep? But irritability is one. And we think in typical teenage behavior sometimes.
Yes.
Another was we kind of saw a change in his eating habits. You know, teenage boys eat. I mean, they eat almost constantly. Well, we kind of saw that he wasn't eating, but I wasn't thinking that much about that. You know, just not hungry. Another was he loved to play basketball. And at one time, he didn't want to go outside and play basketball. I was like, boy, you got to get up. You usually want to go out there with the other guys in the neighborhood and play basketball. So losing interest in things that were once of interest to them. So that's another sign. He was already thin, so I didn't see any weight gain or weight loss or anything like that. I don't think he slept well. I really don't. So loss of sleep could be another one. And, you know, sometimes in teenagers and younger children, you don't see the sadness like you might see in adults with depression because they wear that mask and they don't want others to see what's going on with them. So I believe he may have been sad sometimes because he did write another an essay. Torian's father was killed in an automobile accident when he was about 6 years old. And I remember him, I didn't find it, the essay until after, you know, he was gone. But he had written an essay that talked about, you know, the day that he lost his father. And, you know, he just went through everything that happened. But at the very end, he said, I didn't know what death was then. Now I do. He got an A on that that paper. So another is their writings may show it a little bit, or their drawings may show it. And even the poem that he wrote, he had it. And it was from a poetry book where he had to write poetry in school. The top part of the poem was colored Carolina blue, and the bottom was colored gray. So that right there let you know I'm feeling two different kinds of ways. I don't know which way I'm feeling, but I'm blue, I'm up sometimes, and I'm down. Some of those other signs may be a drop in grade. Of course, I didn't see his grades drop, but that's another sign that we sometimes see in our teenagers. He seemed to be taking really good care of himself, but another is just not. Their grooming may change. They may not feel like bath, may not feel like combing their hair or dressing up like they normally would do. I didn't see that in him, but that is another sign where their appearance will change. Their grooming will change sometimes. I said the moody, the irritability, the not eating, the not sleeping, that kind of thing. The loss of pleasure in things that were more pleasurable for them, the dropping grades. And you'll really see that a lot of times in teenagers. And I was a high school counselor, and a lot of times those grades would drop. You know, you have a child who's an AP student, then they all drop to DF. Something may be going on there.
Right.
The isolation, not wanting to be around others, is another.
We're talking to Ms. H. Kathy S. Williams. This is Black Mental Matters, and Kathy has dedicated her time and life now to working with local communities, understand depression, come to grips with the tragedy of suicide. We thank her so much for being here. Makeba, I know you got a question for Kathy.
Yes. Well, first, I just wanted to tell you, Kathy, thank you so much for sharing that poem with us. I mean, that really hit me hard. I had to take a second to kind of recover from that. So thank you for sharing that with us. I'm just thinking about everything that you put out there, and just, you know, with suicide right now being the second leading cause of death for teens over the last I think it's been about 20 years. It's interesting that suicide rates have decreased for all ethnic groups except African Americans. Mm. And right, and so that's why it's so important that you're using this, you know, using the tragic thing that happened with you and your son and your family as a platform for you to start talking about, because the issue with our community is that there's a stigma and a covering up of this, and just and there's no finger pointing, there's no blaming. Just culturally, we've been through so much. We just have not had an opportunity for introspection and self-reflection and having conversations about mental health and with depression and anxiety and all the things that teenagers go through. And I think it's really interesting, all the things that you listed, you know, loss of sleep, sadness, you know, decline in grade. This is normal, what we think as typical teenage behavior.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you so much for putting that out there. I also just want to just put out there too, just what a lot of people think suicide is when we have a conversation of, you know, we lost a person by suicide or someone's family member or loved one died by suicide. It's been stated this person, quote unquote, killed themselves. And we're trying to get away from that language because it's very misleading. Because when a person is having suicidal ideation and thought, that person, and this is an example I try to give to people so they can kind of understand what that person is going through and what it is that it's a feeling of despair, as if that person is in a burning, smoke-filled room, gasping for air, feeling the heat of the fire, and there's an escape hatch. And they're just trying to get through the escape hatch so they don't feel the pain of what they're feeling. So there's not this thing of this person is something violent to themselves, because that makes it difficult to talk about. So thank you so much for having this conversation with us, opening up this dialogue. And I did want to ask you, with that list of things that you have given us as far as the telltale signs, what in your training have you been told are the ways that once you see these things, what are the steps of action that you can start taking as a parent or as a family member?
Well, it is okay to ask your teenager, and even if they don't want to talk to you, they need to talk to somebody. So be open with their feelings and talk about it. It is okay to talk about what you're feeling or what you may be going through. And I would tell parents, if they don't want to talk to you, because, you know, sometimes our teenagers do not want to talk to us because we want to fix everything right then. Or say, baby, you know you don't feel that way. We don't feel like that. So find somebody that you trust that you can talk to and help you through this. We also say to parents, if you see these signs and they are in a cluster, at least five, going on for more than 2 weeks, please try to seek help for your child.
Yes.
Please try to seek help, because it will only get worse a lot of times. Nothing wrong with getting help, just like you said. We all need it. We all need somebody to talk to sometimes. We don't even have to be depressed or anything. Just talking to somebody, especially, you know, in a time like this, when we all have to stay in the house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just think about what our teenagers may be going through, our children may be going through right now. So I would say to parents, you know, observe your children. If you see these signs, just don't always think that it's typical teenage behavior or that it might be growing pains or something like that. That's another one, too. They may have a pain somewhere on the body and may not even be able to find out what's going on.
Mm.
You know, the doctor may say, well, everything is good. It could be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling some parents, there was a young lady that was having pain in the back. They couldn't find out anything. Mm-hmm. I asked them to give her a psychological evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
That might be where the pain is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So mental pain is also a physical pain.
Yes.
Because it can cause physical things to happen in your body. And then, we can't find out anything that's going wrong. Psychological evaluation. So I would say, don't always take it as to parents as typical teenage behavior, because it's not always typical teenage behavior. And just talk to your children and see if, you know, you can find out maybe what's going on, and just be open with them. And maybe, you know, encourage them to say, we can do this together. I am here for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk. and let's do it together. I'm not going to judge you in any kind of way.
Boy, Miss Kathy, I'm telling you, I'm going to be calling you because you got some good word. You sound, Makiba, I may have a new therapist. I may have to, I'm going to get a second opinion from Kathy.
I might be calling Kathy. I don't know, but you know what? When we came out to Yellow River Park, somebody told me one time, if you're giving them to the youth that we young adults need them now.
Yes,
I said, I need to call my friend and say, listen, I need to use my Yellow River card. That means if somebody call you, don't put me on hold. I need to talk to you right now.
Right now.
That's right.
And I need you to listen. You don't have to say anything back. Just listen.
Yeah,
sometimes that
needs getting
up and out.
That's what triggered it, because you know Makiba always talks about, you know, don't just ask them how was your day, you know, how you feeling about yourselves and things like that. And as you said, in this time right now, what I've been witnessing and experience feeling is that these young people who say the seniors, you know, the graduates, mm-hmm. whether they be high school or college or you know even junior, yeah. their dances, the proms and all the things that they have been looking for. And you know, I think it adds up for young people. I mean, first you may have been angry at them for not cleaning their room. And then, you know, something else happened. And then, you know, they start thinking about, well, I ain't going to even be able to graduate. And it just adds and it builds. And,
exactly.
I mean, it's not easy for these young people. Mm-mm.
It's not easy at all. And at this time, parents really need to pay close attention to their children. That's what we're going through right now, because they're not able to see their friends. They're not able to get out, and like you said, they're not able to do those things that they look forward to at the end of the school year.
Right.
So, and you know, they and this is new to them with being in the house for virtual learning or virtual learning and all of that kind of stuff. So.
Social media ain't your best friend all the time either. I mean, it can be that can add even more stress to you.
Absolutely. And also with opening up the dialogue and having the conversation with your children, I've had to learn this personally. Once your child does start opening up to you, we as Black parents have to learn how to not take stuff personal, don't get defensive, because when your child starts talking about, well, I'm depressed, you know, I'm anxious, you know, I might say, well, you and daddy are fighting all the time, and that's what got me so, you know, worked up and anxious. We as parents have to be willing to, once we open up that door for the dialogue, to not make it about ourselves and to really listen to what our, like what you said, our children are saying, and also say, hey, we're going to be on this together, and there might be some things I need to work on too, and that'll help both me and you.
That's right. You're exactly right. And then one thing I always say, I never leave a presentation without saying, please don't ask them, what are you depressed about?
Oh, my God.
That is the worst question to ask.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sometimes they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it could be something genetic.
Mm. Right.
In your family.
Exactly.
So that's usually the first thing that comes out. Mm. What are you depressed about? You don't have to go to work. Keep your room clean and do a couple of chores around the house. You don't have to, you know, but that, please, parents, do not ask your children or anybody, what are you depressed about? Mm. That's not good. Mm-mm. And then that's when they're going to really turn away and not talk to you.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
Yeah.
Kathy, no, and I, go ahead.
Yes, and I'm glad that you're saying that, because that language in and of itself is accusatory. Well, what are you depressed about? That already puts them on the defense, because that sounds like, well, what do you have to be depressed about? So, no, you're absolutely right. And you're actually the first person that I've heard to say that. So thank you for putting that out there.
Yes, please don't ask them that.
And that's for children and adults. We don't ask anybody that. Absolutely.
That's right.
So you do presentations and workshops, facilitate, I see, for religious community groups. You know, we talk about sometimes that, you know, in our churches, which is where this conversation should be taking place a whole lot more, I believe, that, you know, people, he just need to go to church, or she just need to go to church more. They need to pray more. While we do advocate, you know, prayer, definitely, you know, God is in charge of everything. But sometimes along with that prayer, you need to go see someone professionally. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I agree. Pray first and then go see somebody or do what you need to do to get some help. And sometimes they do say, all you got to do is pray.
Right.
Oh, gosh. You know, and that's another thing. Please don't tell anybody. All this. Just help them get help. And this is what I talk about. This is probably personal right here. But I think about sometimes, and we probably all have people in the congregation where we attend church who may be dealing with some type of depression or mental health issue. And sometimes those songs that we sing, and nothing wrong with the songs, but sometimes we have to think about it.
Yes.
No more crying. No more sadness.
Yes.
No more, you know, I know because I sing them, but sometimes I even think about when we're singing them.
Mm.
Who in here is feeling depressed and say, okay, do I want to go on?
Mm.
I won't have to deal with this pain anymore.
That
you
is,
know,
oof, that is so,
I mean, mature enough to handle that. I think about that sometimes. I know we're not going to stop, but I think about it sometimes with people who are in our congregation. And maybe especially young people who are maybe suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear about no more pain and no more sadness, no more crying.
Mm. I never thought about it in that sense, wow. Kathy. I think I shared this with Makeba before. We were shopping in the store, and what's that song? Till I See You Again, you know, because I've had the loss of my dad and my brother in that way. And I mean, I started bawling like a baby right there in the middle of Walmart. And if she didn't put her arm around me, boy, ain't no telling. I may have ran out in that parking lot, you know, and punched somebody or something. I never thought about how triggering you're right that music and those songs can be. Yes.
But I mean, I know we're not soft, and we believe and we know, but I'm just thinking about somebody who suffering.
Yes.
And feeling like, you know, I don't want this pain anymore. I just want it to go away.
Absolutely. And then when you're talking about it in the context of church and spirituality, if you are not having deeper conversations about emotions and mental health with your children, what it can come across as, and this is how it came across to me as a child, was life, you know, as far as from a spiritual perspective, is about enduring suffering. And you're supposed to get through this life, and it's supposed to be hard. And if you make it through it, then after you're not here anymore, that's when everything gets better. And like that's what I was kind of taught. And then, you know, when you're thinking about slavery and just all the other things that we've been through culturally, I mean, that really adds up for people of color to always be feeling like, you know, with the police shootings and social injustice, that everything is just about suffering for us. And, hey, we're just supposed to just endure it.
No, we're breaking the silence today with Miss H. Kathy S. Williams out of Durham, North Carolina. Do all types of things, but Kathy, I mean, if people we're in Georgia, I'm sure you don't have a problem traveling or doing some things. I know you want to help as many. You're working with Dr. Alfie, and so if people wanted to learn more or find out if they wanted you to come and talk about your experiences or do some type of workshop training, how could they find you?
Okay, they can call me. Mm-hmm. I don't mind, 919-225-7448, and I will travel. I am retired, and I love to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, my number is 919-225-7448, or they may email me at kwilliams6268@aol.com. And they know my age by the AOL, right?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is so wonderful. We thank Dr. Alfie Makeba for sure for introducing us to Kathy. And I'm sure this won't be the last time because it talks about, you know, she's recruiting and training and doing whatever it takes to eliminate the stigmas and myths associated with mental health. Yeah, yeah. We
don't
thank
want
you.
It to happen to anybody else. And Dr. Alfie, you know, I prayed for her.
Yes.
And yes, he did.
Put a bit more in your life.
I was like, you know, she would do that clinical part, and I would do that mother part.
Mm.
And that's how we came together. And we've been together since 2007.
Wow.
She was here in North Carolina at that time.
Sounds like a good partnership. You're right. Clinical pod and mother pod. Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. You go together.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Ms. H. Kathy S. Williams. Thank you, Makeba. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Boy,
I love it.
Thank you.
It's Black Middle Matters. Thank you so much.
A pleasure for me. Thank you so much, Vince and Makeba. I appreciate it.